Amen. What a blessing. We serve the Lord in the strength of the Lord. And then at the end of the day, he gives us a crown for it. Quite amazing. Amen. If we serve the Lord in our flesh, then we don't earn a crown. We get a crown for being saved, but there's other crowns to win as well. But if we'll just yield to him and let him work through us, he rewards us. What a blessing. Amen. Rewards us here. Rewards us there. Sounds like a God that loves rewards. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Amen. And so I'm sure you're faithful as can be because you like him too. Amen. 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 All right. You can go and turn over to Psalm 19. On Sunday morning for Sunday school, we were covering a topic on meditation. And I was meditating today about some things, and God impressed upon my heart tonight that we needed to cover that tonight more thoroughly. Amen. So if you were in class with me on Sunday morning, you'll definitely, it's a totally different message concerning meditation, but it kind of fills in some gaps. But if you were there, you'll definitely hopefully gain by having two times in the Word of God in a week, amen, on meditation. But if you weren't in class, it'd just be all new to you anyway, amen, it'd be a blessing, amen. And we did not cover this verse on Sunday morning, Psalm 19 and verse number 14. And it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We talk about meditation, and there's a lot of different things out there. Some might say, oh, we shouldn't be meditating like, you know, some of these different groups do. Oh, I agree with you. Amen. There's some things you want to be really careful of in reference to meditation. But the Bible speaks of meditation, and there is a teaching to this that's very important for the believer. And basically what it means to meditate is to think on something. It's to ponder it. It's to kind of mull that over. The analogy has been given like a cow chewing his cud, right? Just taking that thing, and kind of gross in a sense. He puts that thing down in that first stomach, let's sit there for a while, and pops that back up, chews on it some more, gets some more flavor out of it, amen. And just goes to town with chewing that thing. And that's kind of what we do with the Word of God. We grab hold of some Word of God and we just chew on it a while, amen? And I love to be under preaching. I like to read my Bible. I like to study my Bible. And all those things are good. But if you really study what meditation is, we do all of that so that we can get to the place that we can meditate upon His Word. And meditation is really where the blessings come in, which I'll show you. So you might be reading your Bible. You might be studying your Bible. Amen. You might be, you know, listening to preaching and all that. But if you're not meditating on the Word of God, you're greatly missing out on some of the blessings and promises found in the Word of God. Amen. So let's pray. We'll jump into it. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Help us, Lord, as we cover this topic of meditation, meditating on your Word. We thank you, God, that we're able to do that, that we're able to first have and hold the very Word of God and be able to read it, study it, even be able to read. What a blessing to be able to see it and hear it. And God, all those things, it's wonderful. But God, your Word puts a high price, a high premium on when we engage in scriptural meditation. And so help us tonight with this thought and instruct us tonight. Give us great help through it. And God, we'll thank you, Father, for what you do throughout this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Look over at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. So meditation refers on what we're thinking about. If I was to ask you what you thought about today, what you thought most about today, would you know what you mainly thought about today? Some people might be so scattered in mind, it might be, oh, man, I'm all over the map. I'm thinking about this and this and just scatterbrained. Some people are. That's fine. That's fine. But some people, they can't get off something. And so it consumes them. All they think about is this or that. And maybe the Lord would have you think on that, or maybe He'd rather you just lay that aside for a time and think on His Word. And we'll look at what it means to meditate, but it means to think on something. Look at Philippians chapter number 4, and in verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Now, that word careful there is, we'd understand it like the word anxious, right? Careful, be careful for nothing, meaning that we're not to be full of care, right? That's what it means in this context, to be careful. It means to be full of care, like, I really care about this, right? And because of that, we would say in our own kind of language, which we understand, would be that word anxious, right? I just can't stop thinking about it. I'm so full of, I care about it so much. I feel like I want to do something about it, but I feel like also I can't. And so the Bible says, be careful for what? What? Nothing. You mean to tell me I'm not supposed to care? Not to a level of worry. That is correct. Because oftentimes, the more we care about something, quite honestly, the less we're able to help, because we get ourselves in a bad posture, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer, asking God, supplicating, going on someone else's behalf before God. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it says, don't be full of anxiety over this. Don't be full of care over this. Instead, pray about it, right? Supplicate. Go to God in a manner that would be a help to others, right? And then you're going to do this with thanksgiving. Be thankful for how many things are we supposed to be thankful for? All things. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I have a hard time giving thanks for all things. Then you need to search God's word to find the perspective of whatever you're dealing with so that you can give thanks for that perspective concerning that thing. Amen? And so this is how we're going to approach things. And if we'll do this, watch this promise in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What's it mean when it says passeth all understanding? Yes. It means we're not going to understand, right? See, most people say, well, if I stop caring about that, then, I mean, I got to care about it, because if I don't, what, am I just going to walk around not caring about anything? That's not what it's saying. It's saying, basically, we're going to cast that care upon the Lord, amen? We still care, but we actually put it in someone's hands that can do something about it, amen? Go ahead, quick.
Mm. Right. So that's why it passes understanding.
Right. You shouldn't have peace in that, but you do, because we put it in God's hands. Right? And that's the difference. As long as it's in my hands, you're right, I shouldn't have any peace, because I'm the one that's kind of controlling this thing and it ain't going to go well. But I'm going to give that to the Lord and trust that He will do right with it. Right? And so we find in this text it says, and the peace of God. By the way, I love peace. Do you know that if you'll have peace, you'll be able to sleep at night? If you have peace, you'll be able to respond to situations, right? Because you're not going to be all anxious and all full of, you know, oh, what am I going to do? And fearful and all that, it won't happen. Because I have peace in knowing that God is doing His job, and He always does, amen? And it passes all understanding to the natural man. They don't get it, but we do. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your what? The word keep here means to guard. What happens in our life when our heart is not guarded? It's open. It's open to others doing something, maybe manipulating it. Two things in life that the world uses to control people. It is greed and fear. Greed and fear. You as a Christian shouldn't have those two things. Greed, I'm content with what God has for me. And if He thinks I need more, He'll give it to me. I don't need the world to give me something. God will. So I don't need to be tempted by greed. Fear, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. What if that happens? Doesn't apply to me. Not just anything can happen to me as God's child. What if I walk on the middle of the road and get hit by a car? Well, number one, you shouldn't play in the road, amen, that'd be foolish. But number two, doesn't He hold us in His hand? I mean, doesn't He control those things? I don't have to fear about those things, right? And so, great peace have they which love thy law, right? And nothing shall offend them, nothing goes against them. We trust God for these things. Anyway, it says that this will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then in verse 8, love this text. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. By the way, this is a list of the things which God says we should think on. That's what it says in the latter part of verse number 8. Verse the beginning says, whatsoever things are true. We want to think on true things. Whatsoever things are honest. Those are honorable things. Whatsoever things are just. Things that God has determined to be proper, right, just, of a of a justification nature. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, that's acceptable. Whatsoever things are of good report, that's reputable. If there be any virtue, that's an excellence, a valor. It's really just trusting in God's plan in things, the intrinsic excellence of things. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen? And if we'll do that, it says, those things, verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, in the Christian life, there is this cause and effect. It's God gives us his word, we act upon it, and then his promise kicks in. But oftentimes we don't act upon it because we're fearful. We don't act upon it because we're thinking about the wrong things. And because of that, we don't see that promise kick in because it kicks in after the do. Make sense? So we're talking about meditation. How does meditation fit into all of this? Look at Psalm 49. Psalm 49. We're talking about thinking on the right things. Your thought process can be a trouble to you. Do you realize that if you think on the wrong things, you can have health issues? You can make yourself sick because you're thinking on the wrong things? Isn't that crazy? That person worried themselves to death. There really have been people that worried themselves to death. You say, well, I don't take it that far. You might not take it all the way to death, amen, but you might be having a little ulcer issue or some other physiological issue, and it's all because of your worry. It's all because of what you think on. It's all because you don't think on the right things. But don't worry. I'm sure some doctor will give you some meds out there that you can pop and cover it up. No, you don't want to go that route. We don't want to go that route. We'd rather have God help us to not need that. Amen? We don't need to go that route, you see. And so God's given us some instruction here on how we can manage life, our mind, and how all this works if we'll just think on the right things. Literally, in Philippians 4:8, God just told us what to think about. Amen? Casting out every thought, right? That's not in accordance really with God's will. That's what we're supposed to do anyway in 2 Corinthians 10. So here we are in Psalm 49. It says in verse number 1, hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. So all people, no matter your station in life, no matter your economic stature in life. It says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom. It says, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Notice this, verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. But remember, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so if my mouth is going to speak of wisdom, then my heart needs to spend time meditating in the Word of God so it gains understanding. And if we'll gain understanding, then our mouth will speak of wisdom. So we find in this text then that the reason we meditate on the Word of God is so that we gain understanding from God's Word about really what we deal with on a daily basis. You'll say, I just don't know why I'm dealing with this. Have you searched it out in the Bible and have you meditated upon it? Because the answer is there, right? God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so the answer is in the Word of God. And if you'll think about it for a while, if you'll meditate upon it, if you'll search it out, meditate upon it, God will give you that understanding. The purpose then of meditation is to seek wisdom. We meditate on it, and then God grants that understanding. Verse number 4 says in the same text, I will incline my ear to a parable. A parable is really it's a teaching of God through a story format. But remember, those that weren't interested in the true meaning of that parable never understood it. The religious people of that day, in Christ's day, they didn't understand the parables. But the disciples, as they were taught of Christ, they did. And you and I can, as we are willing to receive. He says, I will open my dark sayings upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? Now, this is a good question. Why should I fear in the days of evil? When the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. And so he's just saying in this text that through money, through influence, through all these things that the world seeks to make things change by, this isn't God's plan. This isn't how we accommodate change. No, we seek God's word. God's word is what we seek. And that's how we operate. And by the way, that's a whole lot more effective than anything the world can offer. Now, meditation doesn't just happen. Amen? You didn't just accidentally meditate on the word of God today. You might have accidentally meditated on a lot of things today, but I guarantee you didn't just accidentally happen to be meditating on the word of God. It takes purpose. It takes forethought. It takes diligence. It takes an active desire to meditate upon God's word. Again, listening to preaching is good. I love preaching. But if all you do is listen to what other people have to say about things and never really think on it yourself, you're missing a key component of how God wants to work in your life. Amen. We can't just can't listen. At some point, we got to take what we've learned and begin to study that ourselves, apply it, and then think through it and meditate it on it as well. And by the way, listening to scripture, just flat listen to scripture is good. I like doing that. But at some point, you got to turn that thing off and maybe even go back and I look at it and kind of review and find a passage there that you can grab a hold of for that day. If in the morning you're listening or reading a chapter or two or three or four in your Bible, that's great. And you should do that. But before you are done, you should be praying and asking God, what part of that do you want me to take with me today? Because if you read four chapters in the morning, that's great. But the reality is, it's so easy to read those four chapters, get up and go on your way, and then you're not even thinking about anything you just read because now your mind is moved towards the day, right? And the way that we keep from losing what we just read is we look. When we're reading and we're listening, we're paying attention, trying to find, and we're praying and we're asking God, what is it from this text this morning? And by the way, early we should seek the Lord, and we should be in our Bibles, and we should be listening and reading in the morning. But when we're doing that, if you're not careful, you'll read or listen, and you really didn't get anything. Because we're maybe we're a little behind, we're a little busy, we're pressed for time, and we just got to get through it and check the box and move on, right? But if when you do your morning reading, morning listening, whatever you do, if you'll seek out a passage that maybe you'll write down on a 3x5 card, that's a great way to do it, right? Or something. Maybe you'll highlight it in your phone. I don't know. Copy that and make it your screen for that day. But if you'll ask God while you're doing that, show me a verse that you want to draw my attention to today. And then throughout the day, you're refreshing that verse to yourself. And you keep that thing in front of you, you're going to start thinking about it, right? And before you know it, you are meditating on it, amen? Because you've purposed to ask God, you've asked for a verse, he's given you a verse, and now you're repetitively put it in front of you, you're reading it, you're looking at it, you're just thinking about it, and man, you'll start really digging into that thing in thought, amen? It's amazing, and so that's what we want to do. And if you'll do that, it'll transform your Bible reading time. Now we're not just reading the Bible to read the Bible. We're reading the Bible asking God, show me something that can be highlighted. You can't highlight all four chapters. Maybe some genius could do that, amen, and think about four chapters for the day. Most of us do good just with one verse, amen, really thinking about. But if you'll ask God to highlight that, I'm telling you, it'll change how you read your Bible in the morning or whenever you do read your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 15. If you turn over there, Psalm 119, verse number 15. Says this, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That's so important. I so respect the ways of God. I meditate. I think about his precepts, which is basically, it's like what the precept there would be, what orders life, like how life is structured. You're going to approach life one of two ways. One, you're going to have a way that seems right to you and you're going to try to force God into it. Or two, you're going to say, God, I have no idea, but I know you know. And so I'm going to seek your word, meditate upon your word, because I know your way's right. And if I find myself trying to fight against the precepts of God, it can't work out well for us. Amen. It says in verse number 16 of this same text, it says in Psalm 119, 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, if you're going to look into the precepts of God and you find that to be a delight, hallelujah, as you delight in it, you will memorize it. And then as you memorize it, you're not going to forget it because you've thought through it. Amen. People that know a bunch of sports stats. Do you know why they know a bunch of sports stats? Because they've taken time to engage in something they enjoy. And because they engage in what they enjoy, it just sticks, right? And can I say, if you begin to enjoy the Word of God and you're looking for something out of God's Word, you're praying and asking, I need something today, God, and He gives you something, man, that's pretty special. And then you meditate on that throughout the day, it'll begin to stick and you'll begin to have that. And then you won't forget it, but actually apply it. Psalm 119 now, look at verse number 97. We're talking about meditation, what we think about. What most people think about on a day in and day out basis is a big reason why they're depressed. They feel hopeless. They are having a bad day all the time, amen. They're struggling. It's because they're letting their mind just run wild. God doesn't want our mind to run wild. He wants us to bring those thoughts. Remember, we don't follow our heart. We guide our heart. That's what the Bible says. Guide your heart in the way. Your heart needs some boundaries. Your heart needs some rails put up, amen? Just like on a highway. Praise the Lord for the guardrails, right? Because if something goes wrong, normally, it keeps that car in there. If it wasn't for those, you'd be somewhere off, amen, in a no man's land. I say that, though, and I know you had that accident. You're kind of bouncing back and forth. But it wasn't that long ago. There was a semi that went off the highway on 74, and he blew right through the guardrails, ended up in someone's backyard. So guardrails can't protect everything, amen? And neither will the boundaries you put in your mind. Every once in a while, you're going to find your thoughts go crazy out there. But we want that to be an exception, not the rule. We want to plan what we're going to think about. Because as you think in your heart, so that's who you are that day, right? And you might say, man, I want to be a blessing to everybody and on, but you're not. And the reason you're not is you're so preoccupied in thoughts that you just can't fix right now. Amen. And because of that, you become good to nobody around you. Do you ever try to talk to somebody and they're so preoccupied in thought, they don't even hear you when you speak, right? They missed an opportunity, right, to engage and communicate with the people they say they love. Why? Because their mind was somewhere in some other planet, amen, instead of right here where the people are. Does that make sense? Or maybe when it's not where the people are, because your quiet time, it's where God is, where God can help you, amen. We're in Psalm 119, verse 97. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It says, through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies. What? You mean to tell me if I will meditate upon God's word, God's laws, what's saying here, if I will do that, do you mean to tell me I will become wiser than the enemies of my life who want to destroy me? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. I'm just reading the Bible, amen. For they are ever with me. That's the enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients. That's the old guys, amen. Because I keep thy precepts. He says, I know more than my enemies. I understand more than my teachers. I understand more than the ancients. Because I make the Word of God the object of my meditation. And what do we do when we meditate? We seek to understand. And we're seeking to understand how things work in life. God shows us through His Word. And because of that, we become very wise in life. Amen? And by the way, it's not something we can boast about because it's His Word. It's what He's doing. It's not what we're doing. It's what He's doing. Watch this. Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. If you're wise, you'll be able to see the evil ahead and avoid it. Most people can't do that. Do you know why? Because they don't meditate on God's word. Oh, they go to church. They check the box to read their Bible. Oh, they listen to some stuff here and there. But they've never taken an interest in it to where they meditate to understand the word of God. And so it's really not in there. Do you know there's people that have gone to church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years? And they still can't even lead a soul to Christ. If they were asked to quote one verse in the Bible, they might get out John 3:16. Maybe a Jesus wept verse or something like that, amen. But they're not going to quote for you passages like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We need to be able to just quote scripture. And we'll be able to if you'll just spend time meditating upon it. We got to meditate on it. We can't just be satisfied with just hearing it. Can't just be satisfied sitting under preaching. We can't just be satisfied and checking off our box. We read through our Bible again this year. Yeah, but how much of that actually got in? Right? It gets in through meditation. By the way, that's why when you take on a class, like a Sunday school class, and you really do study for that class, you'll find, I used to feel bad for my classes because I'm like, I think I'm learning more than anybody else. I'm supposed to be the teacher, right? But that's how it works. When you study to teach something, you're studying a whole lot harder than if you were just reading it just for, you know, your own reading or whatever. You're getting in and you're seeking understanding and you're looking at a passage, you're asking questions about it because you're going to have a group of young people or adults that you're going to be teaching in this, and they may have questions and they may be thinking this, and you have to be able to answer that. And so as you study, you're looking for the potential things that need asked and then answered. And before you know it, man, you're learning. And you kind of like it. Amen? Well, hopefully all of us as Christians do that. But when there's a reason to teach, it does at times make it easier. At least to experience that. But then you ought to get addicted to it. Amen? Because it's awesome. He says in this text, he says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How was the psalmist taught here? Through meditation. Remember, in meditation, we're seeking what? Understanding. When we meditate, we seek understanding. What is this passage saying? Who's it primarily saying it to? Why is it being said? What's the context? What's the situation? On and on and on. When we meditate upon a passage, we're asking questions about it. That's what meditation is all about, right? And so that's why we learn. That's how we learn. And that way, that passage becomes part of us. And then we're able to utilize it in our daily lives. Look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Boy, when you start chewing on the word like this, it does become amazingly sweet. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Amen? And how is all this done? Through meditation. Look over at Joshua 1. Joshua chapter number 1. After Moses died, God told Joshua that he would be with him. But Joshua had a part in this. If he was to experience all that God had for him, Joshua would have to do his part. And can I say, God has wonderful things in store for each of us. And that's a blessing to know that God has wonderful thoughts about us and things for us. But in everything, there's always a part that we have to play. By the way, church is great, but if you don't go, you didn't get anything out of it. right? Your Bible is awesome, but if all it does is sit at home on the counter, you didn't open it, you ain't getting anything out of it. You see what I'm saying? There's always a part that we have, and it may simply be putting time to it, opening and reading. That's our part, right? It may be getting in a car, driving, coming, sitting in our place. That may be our part, but we always have that little bit of a part to play in this thing so that then God can do his part. Does that make sense? And we'll see that. We see that here with Joshua. We see this throughout the scripture. Joshua 1 and verse 5. He says, this is what God said to Joshua. Moses is gone. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Those are sweet words. Amen. No doubt very, very comforting to Joshua as he's leading a nation into battle. Verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, be strong in the Lord, right? And in the power of his might. We remember that from Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. That's a command to be strong and courageous. And where does our courage originate? In God. I mean, God just said to Joshua, there's not going to be a man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, where's Joshua's courage? In the Lord's promise. God just promised him. Ain't nobody going to be able to fight against you. But there was for a time. Remember Ai, they came, they defeated. Joshua was all upset about it all. But it was because of Achan and what he did. There was sin in the camp. And so God is teaching him something, that I'm promising you these things, but you're going to have to do your part. You're just going to have to be faithful. You get to serve. You're going to serve me and not be afraid, amen. Be strong and of good courage. It goes on to say in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Well, that's good for all of us, that we are going to not let God's word depart out of our mouth. And the only way it can be in our mouth is if it's first in our heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we're going to meditate upon the word, just like Joshua here, meditate upon it. So it's so ingrained in my heart that it comes out of my mouth. Amen. And then he says this, don't stop there. Now observe to do. How many people do we know that they may know the word of God, they don't do it? There's a problem with that, because the promise doesn't come until after the performing of it. I'm just following the text. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Of course, we know we don't serve God in the power of our flesh, but what we yield to him in spirit, and he does through us, but we can still say no, or we can still do wrong. God has to be the one doing this. But look at this promise. It says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The prosperity comes after. The prosperity comes after we just follow God's plan in this. And then it comes. And by the way, the opposite's true. If we don't follow through here, then destruction comes. And that's what we see the pattern given in the Old Testament. Look over at 2 Chronicles. This is a really interesting text. And it was Asa here. God, we find in this text that God is looking for people to show himself strong in. Do you know that the Bible, in this text, we're going to see that the eyes of God are running to and fro just with somebody that he can reveal himself through. 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. He says in verse 7, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Now, what he's saying here is this. He's saying to King Asa, I want your reliance and your trust to be in me. I don't want you relying on other things and other kings and other people. I want you to trust me. Reminds me of Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You see, God wants us to trust him. That whole issue way back with Samuel and the people of Israel, when God says to Samuel, because they wanted a king, an earthly king. God said to Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. God wanted to be their king. But if they want an earthly king, I'm going to give them an earthly king. But God would prefer that we just let God be our king. Amen. And we find in this text, watch this. It says that God just called him out through the prophet for trusting in or relying upon the king of Syria, not upon God. In verse 8, it says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. He says, remember that time before where you just trusted me and you trusted me and I did my part? Verse 9, he says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. He said to King Asa, he said, because you chose to trust in someone other than me and went to these other kings for your help and protection, now you're going to have the very thing that you were afraid of, wars. We need to take our fears, our anxieties, like we looked at before, our care. We got to give it to the Lord. We can't be afraid of it. So what if whatever you're thinking about happens? If it happens, it happens. If you're trusting the Lord and walking with the Lord, he'll be with you. He said to Paul that his grace is sufficient and that his strength is made strong in our weakness. Sometimes we do have to go through hard times. We're supposed to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then the promise, if you like wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and breatheth on it, shall be given him. Amen? But that's double-minded man, you see, he's unstable in all his ways. And that one that's not asking in faith, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, that's the point. We tend to run to all these other things for help because, oh, we're so burdened. We got all these problems and all that. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to meditate. We don't have time to trust God. I'd rather worry about it. And God says, oh, that's too bad. Because you've chose not to just trust me and cast that upon me and let me deal with it. Now you're going to have your fear. It's going to come to pass. Even Job mentioned that. He even said that his fear came upon him. Job was so worried that his kids would mess up. He was offering sacrifices and everything, doing everything he could in that text. If you read through there, it really shows a scenario that Job was offering sacrifices for sin their kids haven't even committed yet, just in case. And he said, when all that happened, all that loss happened, the family was destroyed, the lands, all that happened. He says, yep, my fear's realized. What should he have done? He should have given God that fear. He should have trusted God with those things. And I don't know what your fear is tonight. I don't know what your anxiety is tonight. I don't know what your bother is tonight. I don't know what you can't stop thinking about because you're so worried about it. But I know this. All you're doing is keeping God from doing his part. Because you refuse to just give it to him. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see. And we tie his hands. Man, I would like to come in there and help you. But you won't let me. Because your part is to give it to me. Amen. And because we won't do that oftentimes, we get to go through what our fear was in the first place. Not because we had to go through it, but because we refused to let God deal with it. And we wanted to do it ourselves. I mentioned Psalm 1, meditating on the word day and night, the promise being like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I do want to just very quickly look at the last three verses to show what happens when we choose not to follow God's pattern and plan in this as believers. We become really ungodly in a practical sense. We begin to reap what wasn't really ours to reap. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You may be saved and still walking a pathway or way of the ungodly. And can I say the practical outcome is the same. We as Christians, those of us that know the Lord, we've embraced salvation. We've allowed God to save our soul. We believe in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And we believe that the blood was sufficient to pay for our sins. And we know we're sinners. And we've turned from that. We've looked to Him. We've asked Him to save us. But can I say that's not the end? That's the beginning of our Christian life. And now we're supposed to follow Him. Be followers of Me, the Bible says, as dear children. Amen? And how do we follow Him? Just like a young child follows his mom and dad, trusting Him. Amen? And we rely upon God, and we cast all these cares upon Him, and we know that He's able. My God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think of Him. Amen? He is a good God to me. And can I say He's a good God to you? But we got to trust Him practically. And we got to stop carrying that load on ourselves of those things that God didn't intend for us to carry. And we're going to have to begin to meditate upon His word. Because as long as we're carrying these things that weren't ours to carry, there's no room left to meditate on God's word. Our mind is full of the cares of this life. I remember the passage there dealing with Jesus. Went over to Mary and Martha's house and sitting there, and Mary, of course, stopped everything and sat there and was just communing with the Lord and listening and all that. And there's Martha all cumbered about, the Bible says, with much serving. She's all upset. She's in the kitchen peeking out and saying, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care about all that I got going on? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. Amen. Sometimes we need to hear that, don't we? Your name, a couple times over, amen. You're careful and cumbered about many things. But Mary hath chosen the best part, and it's not going to be taken from her. Can I say, choose that part and leave off the being cumbered with much caring. Oh, you still care, but you actually put it in that place that something good can actually come about by it because we give it to God, amen. God does a whole lot better with that stuff than we do. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. And thank you for this reminder. I know that I needed it. And I know that probably every one of us in here do, because we're so prone to worry and caring about things in an inordinate way. And God, it just hurts us. And it doesn't allow for the problem to be properly resolved. And it takes all that space in our heart and mind, and it pushes out the opportunity for us to be able to meditate upon Thy word, in which, God, You would have given us understanding. God, help us, Lord, to see that, God, what You really want from us as believers is for us to not be careful for these things, but to give them to You. Pray about it. Give it to You. Let that peace of God just keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And take that word of God and read through and ask God for You to highlight a passage to us, a verse, and help us to keep that with us throughout the day and meditate upon it, ask questions about it, search the scriptures on it. And God, it's amazing how You'll take that verse and You'll meet the need. And while we're doing that, God, You're at work in the background, working on the actual issue that You weren't working on before, because we were taking charge on that area. God, thank You for this night. Thank You for this scriptural reminder of these things. And God, I pray You'd bless richly as we take heed to this message tonight and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Heads, eyes closed.